You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Today, tens or hundreds of thousands are expected in the streets of downtown Montreal as the Quebec student strike has entered its 111th day. There are currently some 150,000 students on strike, and protests are spreading, from mass demonstrations such as what is expected today to nightly demonstrations in working-class neighborhoods with participants banging on pots and pans. All of this is in direct defiance of Bill 78, a new provincial law that gives government sweeping powers to crack down on protesters, strikers, and student organizations. Mass arrests in recent weeks exceed those of the October crisis 40 years before, and the situation is nothing short of a broader political crisis. Roger Annis is a writer and activist on a host of social justice issues. He's written extensively on recent developments in the student strike. Hello, Roger, and welcome back to Red Eye.
Well, thanks. It's good to be with you.
So the negotiations between the provincial government and the major student unions involved in the strike broke down this last Thursday. Why did the negotiations break down?
Well, essentially, the government stuck to a very hard line on its proposed tuition fee increase. There was very little change from its original proposal to have a tuition fee increase of $254 over the next each of the next 7 years. And so, as we're learning, details of the talks are coming out now. The government stuck to that line. There was some variation of the form in which this increase would take, but the essential amounts remain the same. The government was adamant in refusing any suggestion of having a tuition fee a freeze on tuition fee increases even for the next year or two. And so, in the end, on the fourth day of talks, the government representative, the Minister of Education, Michel Courchen, walked out of the talks.
And so, what was the government's final offer?
They had modified their original proposal, the $254 per year that I mentioned to you, somewhat in reducing that by $35 per year down to $219 per year of increase over 7 years. But they also were going to change the tax credit system whereby students and their families, that is those who qualify, those who have high enough income to qualify, the government would cut the tax credit to make up for this $35 decrease in tuition fees that it proposed. That was the one small modification that they made. And so essentially one way or the other would be students would be paying for this full proposed increase that the government formally announced, or formally proposed, I should say, in its budget of March 2012. So, yeah, essentially no shift whatsoever in the government position, extremely hard line that it has taken throughout the whole process. And, the good part of the province of Quebec is kind of reeling right now, wondering why the government is as intransigent as it has proven to be.
And so no matter what, the government hasn't budged on the fact that students will pay for this increase and it won't. Nothing from the rest of the budget or progressive tax system can be a bit flexed to make up for it.
That's right. It's really two worldviews that are clashing here, if I could say worldviews. Let's say two social views that are clashing. The students, on the one hand, who regard education as one of the several important social rights and acquisitions of society that society as a whole takes responsibility for. And on the other hand, a government that's more and more moving to a user pay system that is treating education, as with healthcare and so on, as being just another commodity that you buy and sell like a car or a refrigerator. And those are two very conflicting views, and it's proving to date impossible to reconcile them.
And now, going back to May 18th, the Quebec Liberal government passed Bill 78. What powers did it give for the government to crack down on the movement?
It's an extremely draconian law. It severely restricts the right to political expression. Demonstrations of 50 or more people that would take place in the streets on any given issue would essentially require the permission of police to take place That is, any public expression of political views would have to submit to the police 8 hours in advance the proposed event, what streets that it was proposed to take place on, a possible route of march, and so on. And, of course, the government innocently says, well, that's just so we know what's going to go on. But, of course, it's pretty pretty obvious that, you know, behind this lies the power to say, no, I'm sorry, you can't have this protest, or no, I'm sorry, you can't do this at the venue where you want, or you can't take this proposed route of march, and so on. The original government proposal, unbelievably, was that any gatherings of 10 or more people would have to make such a submission to the police. And so there's a host of other measures in Bill 78, but the essential one is this restriction on the right of protest with very heavy penalties involved, both fines against individuals as well as organizations. Perhaps I should mention one of the other most egregious features of Bill 78 is that it assigns responsibility to representatives of organizations to the acts of their individual members. In other words, if a student association didn't, in the eyes of the police and courts, sufficiently police the actions of their own members, then the associations themselves could be responsible. Let's say you have a protest and somebody gets angry and commits, you know, some kind of infraction of the law, then Bill 78 opens up the whoever is taking responsibility for hosting the protest to themselves be perhaps criminally responsible for the acts of one or more individuals. So there's a host of measures like this in Bill 78, which is extremely draconian, and the introduction of the bill has completely changed the context now of the tuition fee increase, where it's now not just an issue over principles of education and social rights, but fundamental issues of democracy, and that's why we've seen such an explosion of popular protest against the government.
Yeah, talk about that explosion. How has this bill impacted the movement and its popular support?
Well, I think it's transformed the struggle in to some important degree in favor of those that advocate for social justice, first and foremost the students, because the government's intransigence was annoying to a lot of people. But, you know, it has money and it essentially has the either control or the friendly side of media. So they were able to put across a message to the effect that students are being unreasonable, that the government and the society can't afford to have tuition fees in the province of Quebec that are roughly half the amount of fees in the other provinces in Canada, and so on. They were playing this card very strongly. But then when Bill 78 came out, the stakes changed, because an awful lot of people then said, whoa, there's obviously something bigger going on here, that such a draconian piece of legislation could be brought out against the students. So there have been just many times more people coming out to the protests that the students have been organizing because of the stakes in the basic democratic rights of people in the province. So these would be people who would, for the most part, be very inclined to the student point of view that education is a social right and that a user pay principle should not apply to education or to anything else. So they've been inclined to that, but it really took Bill 78, I think, to get people mobilized in a significantly higher way. And you saw the result on May 22nd, that the largest protest for civil rights that's ever taken place in Canada, the estimates, and I think they're pretty accurate, a number of estimates that place the numbers in the streets of Montreal on that day at 400,000 people. And then you've had a mushrooming of the so-called pots and pans movement, the Mouvement des Casseroles, which is another form that the opposition to the government has taken now. And this movement is really just spreading to every nook and cranny of the province of Quebec.
The movement is broadly united around the demand to stop the tuition hike, while at the same time there appears to be a growing vision in the movement to push towards a longer-term goal of abolishing tuition fees. How do you think the movement will accomplish both of these goals from here?
Well, it's a long struggle now. This is a basic principles of how society should be run that are now at stake. A significant wing of the student movement, I would say a majority of the student movement, including the largest of the student associations, CLASS, CLASSE, that stands for, the English translation is the Broad Coalition of Student Worker Solidarity. They are in favor of free education. That is, access to education should be based on scholarly merit and so on, not based on the ability to pay. They also see their struggle as part of a broader struggle for example, full and free access to public health care, for policies of full employment, policies that would tackle poverty by raising the minimum wage and raising welfare rights, and policies that are respective of the natural environment. So that's the broad program that I think you can say a majority of the student organizations, especially CLASSE, fight for. And so for them, the struggle against the tuition fee hike of the Sharia government, and more broadly the struggle for free and accessible education, is really part of a broader vision they have for society. And they're acting along that path, seeking allies first and foremost among teachers and professors who have been very strongly in support of the student movement, but more broadly to the trade union movement, to indigenous peoples in the north of the province, farmers. So that's a longer-term struggle that's underway here, a very interesting and complex one with big implications for the rest of Canada. In the short run, the issue over the tuition fee hike, we're into now clearly a months-long battle that will probably resume again with the opening of the school year. The school year will in the strike-bound institutions, will reopen earlier than planned because of this plan put in place with the original cancellation of the school year by the provincial government to catch up on matters. So two things going on there, the fight against the government's proposed tuition fee hike, and then this broader movement that's been set in motion by the struggle that's looking at much more fundamental questions. And so the two will proceed a little bit hand in hand, but at a different pace and with different immediate objectives that are possible and realizable.
One thing I noticed when I was in Montreal were stickers that people had pasted over advertising that was based on women's bodies, and these stickers were everywhere, and there were the little red squares produced by CLASSE, I believe, saying sell, pub, sexist, like just commenting on all these broader social issues which need to be incorporated into this broader struggle, kind of symbolized by the red square.
Yeah, it's all very impressive. I spent a week in Montreal. Unfortunately, I wasn't there on May 22nd for the big march, but I was there before that and attending some of the marches. I also had I was very fortunate to be able to attend a day-long conference of CLASSE that was discussing its strategy and the road forward in the fight against the government. This was after the conference was held after the government had canceled the school year at the strike-bound institution. So, yeah, this is a tremendously vibrant, coherent movement with very capable and coherent representatives and leaders, men and women both. The attack on tuition fees, as with the attacks by the government on other social services, are seen as being, you know, first and foremost attacks on the right of women, because women have proportionally more difficult access to all the social services to begin with. They have bear an extra burden in society for a family and child rearing, and so on. So, yeah, that's very much in the consciousness of the student movement and its most, many of its most coherent leaders or voices are women. That's a very impressive part of what we're seeing. The red square is a symbol. It goes back to a previous student strike in the year 2005, and the color red signifies debt, student debt, and the shape, the square, in French, the word carrément, directly translated, means squarely. So the red square means I'm squarely in debt. And so that's the symbol that's everyone's wearing in the province and increasingly across the rest of Canada as well.
What can progressive movements across Canada do to support what's happening in Quebec right now?
Well, there's been important support already. Support rallies have taken place elsewhere in the country, including this past Wednesday. There were 2,500 people that marched through the streets of Toronto banging pots and pans. We had about 600 or 700 of us out here in the streets of Vancouver. Unions in Canada have provided important legal support, including with funds, because more than 2,500 arrests have taken place since the beginning of the student strike. A relatively small number of arrests so far under the terms of Bill 78, but this could change, and there's an important legal challenge to Bill 78 that's now been launched. So unions have been providing important financial support, but we need more mobilization. We need more people in the streets with pots and pans, and we need our leading social organizations in Canada to take a lead on this. Our unions, the student associations outside of Quebec. I'd like to see the New Democratic Party playing a forceful role here, because the MPs in Ottawa have chosen to remain silent on the issue, and that's really not acceptable. So yeah, we've got big responsibilities in the rest of Canada, and the people in Quebec, the students in Quebec, are keenly aware of this support. It gives them great encouragement when they see people in other cities coming into the streets and supporting them.
Are there any immediate things you would suggest for people who want to support the student strikers?
Well, we had our first marches in, a total of 40 towns and cities across Canada on Wednesday of this past week, so maybe we can begin by making Wednesday a regular day per week of people to come out in marches in support of the student struggle and against Bill 78. The date of the 22nd of each month has become an important symbolic date now in Quebec itself. The 22nd now of every month are the more than usual demonstrations that take place. So I think we should begin to look towards that date and in this city. And we need coalitions now to come together in the cities that bring together student groups, trade unions, and others who can really organize ongoing effective struggle, because it seems pretty clear now that the fight in Quebec is going to extend into next fall, and we can make a major difference if we get organized and mobilized in the other provinces, including extending the fight for affordable education to the other provinces. I know that many students elsewhere outside of Quebec, across Canada, want to see this fight extended, and I know that's happening now, so let's push on with that as quickly as we can.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Roger, and yeah, let's make that happen.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good talking to you.
You as well. I've been speaking with writer and activist Roger Annis. If you would like up-to-date information on developments in the student strike movement, you can visit Roger's website at rogerannis.com. That's Roger, ANNIS.com. For news and analysis from CLASS, the main student coalition leading the strikes, you can visit their website, stopthehike.ca.